WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Some movies are so bad, they're entertaining. And of course, part of the entertainment is the wisecracks you make as you watch. You get bad films with wisecracks on the cable comedy series Mystery Science Theater 3000. The premise is that a lab technician named Joel has been banished to outer space by bosses who don't like him. As punishment, the bosses force him to watch the worst movies ever made, mostly monster, science fiction, and teen exploitation films like Godzilla vs. the Sea Monster, The Slime People, and Daddy-O.
Well, our movie this week is called Project Moonbase, and it features a group of astronauts almost as inept as you are, Joel.
And a plot as weak as herbal tea.
Yes, but first, how about a double dip of our old friend Commando Cody and the radar men from the moon? Taste the pain, buddy.
Enjoy. Whoa.
Joel and his robot friends survive their punishment by making constant wisecracks about the movie they've been condemned to watch. My guests are Joel Hodgson, the series creator and star, and Mike Nelson, the head writer. Mystery Science Theater 3000 is on the cable network Comedy Central, but Joel started the series as a local show on a Minneapolis TV station. Joel told me how he came up with the premise.
It's based on the premise that people naturally talk back to movies. And I knew a little bit about TV when we started, not very much, but I knew that it could be done fairly easily just putting the image in the bottom of the screen. And so that's kind of where it started, is I knew that it could be done, even though I had a real limited idea of how TV is really made.
When you say putting the image of the bottom of the screen, you mean the image of you and the robots who you're right. Wisecracking with.
It's a wildly low-tech show.
Yeah, really.
And so I kind of designed it that way so I would know what was going on.
Now, what about the part of the premise where you're being forced to watch bad movies in outer space as punishment?
Well, I designed that, I guess, so there would be some kind of... It would make more sense, because if they're really bad movies, which we acknowledge they are, why, and they were just people in a theater, why wouldn't the people get up and leave? So I kind of designed that prisoner aspect to as a rationale, I guess.
Now, Joel, before you started doing this TV program, did you enjoy seeking out bad movies so you can make fun of them?
Yeah, I think... you know, I guess there was a growing sensibility in the country, maybe in the 70s, that there's a lot of bad movies out there, and I think people started to make fun of them. They started to identify, this is a bad, low-budget movie, and it's okay to make fun of it.
Mike Nelson, you're the head writer for the show.
Right.
Did you used to intentionally seek out bad movies so you could ridicule them?
I had had a couple friends in college who, sure, we'd watch bad movies. A lot of references in the show to a movie called Mannequin, which was kind of one of my favorites to make fun of. But yeah, we used to rent, you know, Plan 9 and Robot Monster and do that kind of stuff.
I'll make a confession here. When I was in grade school, I used to have little Mitch Miller parties at home and invite people over just so we could make fun of Mitch Miller.
Wow.
Hey.
You invented Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah, I thought I'd take credit for the whole thing.
You're hipper than us.
So how bad does a movie need to be before you'll show it? And are you ever surprised that a movie's actually better than you thought it would be and isn't going to work on the show?
Oh, Mike?
We've never been surprised by a movie being too good. It may not fit our purposes. The other day we got a Jackie Chan movie. He's a martial arts, kind of a comic martial arts guy, and his movies are really quite funny. It might work, but we don't want to make fun of them because they're pretty good. But mostly the movies we get are almost too bad for our purposes. We get pretty down after seeing it the first time and just saying, there's no way we can do this. It's too bad.
What makes a movie too bad for you to even show to us?
Just terrible continuity, bad dubbing.
Ugly people doing ugly things to each other. That's
a
big
real
problem.
Mean, there's a lot of real mean-spirited movies out there that we've tried to do, and they really bring us down if they're real depraved. So we have to kind of, that can really get you down.
What was a movie that was too depraved for you?
What was that one we just saw?
Well, we did a movie called Side Hackers, which was a motorcycle film that we watched the first 10 minutes and thought it was pretty hysterical. And then we said yes to it, and we got it. And then upon watching it again, we realized there was a very ugly, violent crime that occurred about 11 minutes into it. And then we had to deal with that.
So we had to edit it out, and then we lost a lot of continuity in the film.
The film was just really, really ugly, and that was a really hard one.
I'd hate to think you guys were censoring the bad movies we were watching, editing out the scenes.
I bet you'd be happy we did.
You'd be pleased.
So yeah. What movie are you looking at now?
Teenage Caveman with Robert
Vaughn.
Robert Vaughn,
yeah. I've always wanted to see that.
It's really dull. Don't get too excited about it.
So you're working on Teenage Caveman now. What's the process like? What are you doing with it?
We wrote it for 2 days, just watched it and wrote down our comments. And then we added in comments that we have these home writers who do it at home and send in their scripts. And we process their comments into it. And then we go through it again and decide which are the best and kind of work that all out and assign the lines to the characters and whatnot.
So how many times have you seen the movie already?
4. And I'll see it 8 probably by the time it airs, maybe 10.
A lot of times to see a bad film.
Yeah, you get a certain kind of mental toughness about it.
You start to find amusement in the things that are not at all amusing.
So you watch a movie many times before you actually record the wisecracks. Joel, what's the recording process like?
Well, when we do the film, we're sitting in front of TV monitors in front of a big blue screen, and we have our scripts with time codes and the comments, and each character has an assigned comment. And we have maybe 700 remarks per film. And then we watch the movie and do our remarks and actions, you know, so the puppet's mouth movements are synced up and I'm moving the right way. So it is kind of like doing radio in a funny way, because people are only seeing your shadow, you know.
Right, because you're silhouetted.
Yeah. I guess one of the nice things about writing it is that people get to say what we like to say, because there's just so much room for jokes, and 700 of them, so you can get in your little personal ball of pain, you know, every now and then.
I want to mention one of the comments that you made in one of the movies that I thought was really funny. This was, I think it was in Daddy-O, and there's this real, like, stocky cop type, and you say, oh, is he Charles Durning or Brian Dennehy? And I thought that was really funny, because for reasons I can't figure out, I used to confuse the two all the time, maybe because they always played the same type. So I really, really got a kick out of that.
Yeah, that's we have kind of a list of those stocky character actors that we like to compare. M. Emmett Walsh kind of fits in on the fringes of that.
Right. And now a criticism. In Untamed Youth, which is this, you know, Mamie Van Doren teen exploitation film, the film also starred Eddie Cochran, who is probably best known for the 1958 hit Summertime Blues. So Mamie Van Doren and Eddie Cochran are prisoners doing time in a cotton field, picking cotton. And Eddie Cochran sings this really awful song called "They Ain't Gonna Make a Cotton Picker Out of Me."
Right.
But then you say, "They ain't gonna make a singer out of him either." This is like up with people in prison. And I don't know, I was kind of annoyed that you didn't say something more knowing about Eddie Cochran and who he is. I mean, he wasn't just like any washed-up schmo singing that song. It was Eddie Cochran.
Yeah, to me, it's like kind of the... that joke was driven by the sadness of guys getting cast in movies they shouldn't be in, you know?
In fact, you're not the first one to bring up the Eddie Cochran thing. There's been others.
Yeah.
Gorezone Magazine was a little upset with us.
Who? Yeah.
Gorezone Magazine. It's one of those splatter effects magazine, and they were offended by everything we do, but especially that we talked over Eddie Cochran's song.
Yeah.
The point I'm trying to make in bringing this up is you're wondering, like, well, how much do these people know? Do you know what I mean? How much do they know about the actors, and how much do they care? And, like, do they love the movies as well as want to mock them? You know what I mean?
They know everything.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the show has a definite personality, and it knows a lot about certain things, and it can be real ignorant about other things. And I think we knew about Eddie Cochran, but I'm not a fan, and so it's like that's going to show.
You know, Mystery Science Theater kind of plays on one of the nightmares I have. I don't know if you ever had this kind of nightmare, but, you know, sometimes I think of myself talking on the radio, and I imagine groups of three or four people listening to the radio together mocking every word that I say. It's like, you know, it's like your worst nightmare when you're on radio, and I imagine when you're on TV. So like, that's literally what you're doing. You're taking people's movies and, like, mocking every word that they say. Has that ever been a performer's nightmare of yours, that people are kind of doing that while you're performing?
Good question. I think there's a certain... We try to have a certain appropriateness to it. You know, people are at their homes watching TV, and they choose to watch our show or not. It's a lot different if someone's on stage and people are really being loud and distracting from the performer. I mean, we've all seen that, and that's not... I don't think we're really about that. I think it's a show based on that activity, but it's not that we condone that. So, yes, I think we talk about that a lot, how we live by the sword, we may die by the sword, and someday there'll be another, someone will buy our shows and put a second row of shadows and make fun of what we're saying. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks to both of you for talking with us.
Okay. Toodaloo.
Joel Hodgson and Mike Nelson of Mystery Science Theater 3000. The series is featured on the cable network Comedy Central. This is Fresh Air.